Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and it's Tuesday, folks, which means it is time to ask the doctors, 1-800-423-8255. Less than half an hour ago, Governor Baker tweeted that Massachusetts has hit its goal of vaccinating 4.1 million residents. Meanwhile, President Biden says today that the country won't reach its goal of a shot in the arm of 70% of adults by July 4th. And the Delta variant is here and it's spreading fast. So what questions do you have about the risk from Delta, vaccinations for kids, if we'll need boosters, that nagging question about whether and when to wear a mask? Call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your coronavirus and vaccine questions. Joining us this week for Ask the Doctors, Dr. Benjamin Linus, an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, an associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Boston University School of Medicine, and Dr. Gabriela Andujar-Vazquez, an infectious disease physician, associate hospital epidemiologist, and medical director of the COVID-19 vaccination program at Tufts Medical Center. Dr. Andujar-Vazquez, welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Dr. Linus, welcome back to you too.
Sure, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Dr. Andujar-Vazquez, I'll start with you. We hit 4.1 million fully vaccinated today in the Commonwealth. Governor Baker tweeted it just last hour. Is this a moment of celebration? Is it a moment of caution? How do you feel about it?
I think it's a celebration. You know, we have a lot of caution and other things around surrounding the pandemic. I think we should celebrate that milestone for the state and continue to encourage everyone who has still not gotten vaccinated to go ahead and do so.
Dr. Linus, do we know that number, 4.1 million adults? Is that a political number, some kind of public health tipping point number? Is there magic in that number? Or is it more that it's just a big one?
Well, I don't think there's magic in the number, but I also think that it does reflect a public health concept. There's been lots of discussion around the concept of community immunity or population level immunity. And when about two-thirds of our population have been vaccinated, combined with the natural immunity that we unfortunately have from the pandemic, it seems likely that we are approaching the level of roughly 90% population level immunity when you combine those two things. And in some work that I've been working on and others as well using simulation models, that kind of coverage does look like the amount of coverage that we need in order to enjoy some level of community protection. So I think it is a reason to celebrate for sure.
Okay, so that made my ears perk up. Are you essentially saying that this is the number where, because between the number of adults vaccinated and what we believe is the immunity that a certain percentage of the population has obtained through having the coronavirus, we are reaching a point of herd immunity in the Commonwealth, understanding that our borders are permeable and, you know, et cetera. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Linus?
Effectively, yes. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I think there's reason to think that we're getting close and that the numbers that we're seeing now look similar to the numbers that come out from simulation modeling studies that would provide likely a level of community protection. The one point that you made, though, is that it is state by state. And so I think there is no national story around community immunity. It depends very much where you live, and it is state by state. But I think in Massachusetts, we have reason to think that we're getting close. I just want to be careful. That doesn't mean we should take our foot off the gas. Even better than, you know, two-thirds vaccinated would be 100% vaccinated, and that would provide even more protection. So I'm not saying that we should slow down now, but I also think that we should celebrate the win and be excited about where we are.
I just want to put the numbers out so that we can get callers in line. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your coronavirus question. And I will go to the calls in just a moment. But first, Dr. Andujar-Vazquez, that comes. So here we are at this moment in the Commonwealth. But on the same day, we find out that nationally, we're not going to reach the goal that President Biden had for July 4th. Now, it was a little bit of a different goal. It was 70% of adults with at least one shot in the arm by July 4th. What do you make of that, the success, you know, relative success here in the Commonwealth, and that inability to hit a big mark that the president wanted to hit nationally?
Right. You know, I think that we still, like I said, and I think Dr. Linus pointed out, that we still have a lot of work to do in different states, particularly that goal about 70% by July 1st of the adults. You know, the proportion of that number, if you look, go into detail into the age groups, it seems that we're seeing just a little bit behind vaccination rates in the young adults, right, 18 to 30 years of age, where we still see that we're not reaching out to that group as much as we would like to. And but if you see the numbers from 30 years above, and you know, the 65 and older, we're reaching, even in different states, we're reaching a good goal of more than 70, not all of them, not all states in the nation. So I think that what that reflects is that we still have a lot of work ahead nationally to make sure that we reach out to those groups that are still hesitant to get vaccinated.
We're going to come back to that, but I want to go to the phones now. 1-800-423-8255. Let's take our first caller. Megan's on the line in Watertown. Hi, Megan. What's your question?
Hi. So I am a teacher with school-age kids who are not yet eligible for a vaccine. They're under 12. And with everything opening up, I was wondering how I can best protect my kids if I come in contact with the coronavirus or the Delta variant. How the vaccine, like, does it bounce off me? Should I keep my mask on?
Okay, so Megan, just to clarify your question, you are vaccinated. You are concerned about whether if you come in contact with the Delta variant, there's some risk of you spreading it to the kids in your classroom who are not yet age eligible for a vaccine, correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's turn to Dr. Linus.
Sure, it's a great question. So the good news is the vaccine remains effective against the Delta variant. So I would say the generalized first response to anyone asking, what can I do to keep the people around me safer, be they family or students, is to get vaccinated. Once you're vaccinated, that's fantastic. It's probably about a 90% risk in transmission to your students. If you combine that with some social distancing in the classroom, and also we're still wearing masks in classrooms now, I think there is no risk to your students, or effectively none. And that's really what we've seen all spring since coming back into schools. We really have not seen a lot of COVID in schools, even amongst the unvaccinated. So I think there's a lot of reason to feel good that you can keep your kids safe and keep moving forward with education. And I think the hard decisions will come. There's another hard decision coming this summer about what the rule for masking should be amongst unvaccinated students in the fall. And I think those are discussions that are going to have to be had this summer.
Do you have questions about kids and vaccinations? Do you have questions about still when to mask and when not to mask? Maybe you have questions about the Delta variant. The number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's stick with masks for a second, Dr. Andujar Vasquez. We continue to get questions every time we do ask the doctors, with people just not sure when they need to mask to keep others safe, especially people who are vaccinated but concerned that perhaps they could carry the virus and not be aware, you know, be asymptomatic. So can you kind of give us the general, quick, easy guidelines when to mask, when not to mask?
Right. So if you're vaccinated, you really, if you're indoor or outdoor, it really is very unlikely that if you're not wearing a mask and you are among other people that are vaccinated, that you or unvaccinated, that you will transmit that virus, even if you're asymptomatic. There's really been very little number of breakthrough infections in people that are fully vaccinated. And when they actually have infections, they are asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic, and there has not been proved that there's been secondary transmission. And by secondary transmission, I mean that a fully vaccinated person will transmit that virus to another person, whether they're vaccinated or not. Now, wearing unvaccinated, basically outdoors, is okay for everyone to not be wearing a mask at this point, but indoors, they should be wearing a mask, and when they're not able to wear a mask, they should be socially distancing.
All right, and let's now pick up on the Delta variant, Dr. Linus. Latest data is the Delta variant makes up about 14% of cases, but it's spreading rapidly. How soon before it is the dominant variant in the United States?
I can't tell you exactly when that would happen, but I would expect this summer. And at this point, I think when we're talking about COVID, we should just make plans as if we're talking about the Delta variant, because I think it's likely to take over.
And what does that mean?
Well, it depends if you're vaccinated. Again, the world is really starting, the pandemic world is beginning to divide along vaccinated versus unvaccinated lines. If you're vaccinated, the Delta variant is something to note, and it brings some questions about whether it could produce a long tail to the epidemic. But for your personal safety, going to the store, going to your events, or doing your daily life, the Delta variant doesn't actually have a lot of meaning to you because you're vaccinated and you're protected. If you're not vaccinated, the Delta variant should be of major concern. We've seen it driving huge outbreaks in India and in the UK as well. If you're not vaccinated, you're at risk for that outcome. So I think that in the unvaccinated world, the Delta variant is something to be very concerned about. And that's a good reason to get vaccinated. That's why there's been a consistent message from all of us over and over again that vaccination is important. And the Delta variant just ups the ante on that statement.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-423-8255 to ask your coronavirus question. Sam from Newton, you are on the line. Go ahead.
Thank you. What is the risk of going to a folk dance camp locally where there'll be approximately 150 people who are all vaccinated? All dancing is held outside, kind of circle dancing, and we're sleeping overnight and everyone's sleeping in a single room. And the question is, should all participants with grandchildren get a PCR test after that 3 days of dancing camp?
Well, the camp sounds like a blast, Sam. I hope that you are able to go. And let's ask Dr. Andu Har-Vazquez about the PCR testing question.
Correct, yeah. If everyone participating in this camp, which is outdoors, and everyone's vaccinated, the likelihood of transmission of COVID is very, very low. And I would say, go beyond to say that it's probably safe, very safe. I don't necessarily think that testing after an activity like this, if everyone was vaccinated, it needs to happen, particularly if you have no symptoms. Obviously, we always say testing is always needed, even if you're vaccinated, if you have any symptoms. But if you remain asymptomatic, I don't believe that if everyone's fully vaccinated that you need to have testing.
All right, let's pick up another call. 800-423-8255 is the number. Leon's on the line from Marblehead. Leon, what's your question?
My question is about the difference between natural immunity and the immunity acquired as a result of a vaccine. For example, I'm 61 years old, and I had COVID about 3-4 months ago. Now, I had read studies from Europe that natural immunity lasts for a pretty long time. So my question is also, why should I get vaccinated if I had COVID? And it was official. I got tested positive, and I had it.
So, Leon, I'm glad you're okay after having had it. And let's turn to Dr. Linus with your question. Dr. Linus, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really important question. So thanks for bringing it to the air. I shared your skepticism early on. I was like, really? Do we need to be vaccinating already infected people, especially if we have limited doses of vaccine? But it turns out that it looks like that the immunity provided by the vaccine is different than the immunity provided by natural infection, and perhaps actually stronger and more durable. And so that's why the guidance now is that even if you've been infected, you should be vaccinated, because we just know more about the immunity that's provided by the vaccine. And there's actually increasing data coming out now that from vaccine, we're gaining things like immune cells in bone marrow that are signs of long-term durable immunity. Right? These are the memory cells that help us fight the chickenpox 30 years later. There's a lot of evidence that the immunity we're getting from the current vaccine should be long-term durable, certainly more than 6 months or a year. And that's why we're asking everyone to please get vaccinated, even if you were infected before, because we think the immunity is stronger from the vaccine, and we think it lasts longer. And even if we're wrong, we just don't know about the natural immunity. And in this time, in this pandemic, we just want to know what we're dealing with. And so please do go get vaccinated.
All right, thanks for that answer. Let's pick up another call, 800-423-8255, to ask your question. Cecilia's on the line in Needham. Hi, Cecilia, your turn.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on. I wanted to ask you, my husband is an elementary school teacher. He's been vaccinated. He taught remotely this past year, but I was concerned about what it would be like for him to go back to school in the fall.
Now, is there a special circumstance with your husband, Cecilia?
Sorry, yes, I forgot to mention. He is immunocompromised and on oral chemotherapy.
Okay, thank you for that. Dr. Andujar Vasquez.
Right. So with the immunocompromised patients, even when they're vaccinated, we do still advise that they continue to do some of the safety measures that may be immunocompetent, people that don't have issues with their immune system and are fully vaccinated, would not have to be careful with. And by that, I mean, for example, for your husband, he's fully vaccinated, which is great, but we just don't know, depending on their immune system, how they will respond to the vaccine, right? Whether their immune response will be very robust or whether their immune response would be a little bit weakened just because their immunity is not that great. So we would still recommend, you know, masking and indoors and trying to basically hang out only with vaccinated people. Acknowledging that your husband is in school, right, a teacher, kids are less likely to at this point to contract, right, transmit the disease, even though they are able to. And with the community spread being so low in Massachusetts, the likelihood of in this fall of him contracting COVID-19 while fully vaccinated and wearing a mask in the schools is very low. So I think it's a balance.
All right, now, before we take maybe one last call, I want to bring in another voice. We have been doing Ask the Doctors since March of 2020. And in that time, we have gained a family of infectious disease specialists who have shared their talent, their wisdom with us, with our callers. And today we are saying goodbye to one member of that family, Dr. Joshua Barocas, who is headed to the University of Colorado School of Medicine's Division of Infectious Diseases and Division of General Internal Medicine. So he is on the road, but we invited him to phone in so we could give him a proper send-off. Dr. Barocas, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Tiziana. This is very, very nice of you all.
We are so happy to have you. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
No. We pulled off the road so that I'm safe and not talking while driving.
So, Dr. Linus, you're chuckling. I understand that Dr. Barocas is a mentee of yours, or as you described, your professional little brother. Any advice for Dr. Barocas as he heads off?
Well, this is a remarkable opportunity. We've said our goodbyes, but to have an opportunity to say thank you to Josh and to tell the world what a remarkable scientist he is and what a fantastic colleague and mentee. And my advice is to just embrace this opportunity. It's going to be fantastic as you start your own group and head out to Colorado. And Boston will miss you, but the world is going to be better for you being in it. So thank you so much, and best for your whole family and to everyone.
And Dr. Barocas, words of wisdom from you. You know, what has been being on the front line this past year taught you about the world, about yourself, about our community?
Yeah, well, first I have to say that the service that you've done, Tiziana, and the Radio Boston crew has just been remarkable over the past 16 months. You've effectively been there the entire time with us, and I think that many of us have felt supported because of the work that you've done. I'll say, and I think I said this early on in the pandemic, perhaps one of the first times that we were on together, that one of the most remarkable things, there's been so much devastation, so much heartbreak, so much just pain through the last 14 months, 15 months, 16 months. But what we've seen is that when tragedy strikes, people can come together and people can put aside differences. And I think that going forward, the biggest lesson that we can all take from this is that when we use the collective sort of human spirit, the collective human intelligence, and the collective human empathy, what we can achieve is just remarkable.
That's fantastic. Would you like to take one last call on your way out?
I'm happy to. Absolutely. Anything.
All right, Lisa.
Anything from
Lisa,
Boston.
That's great. Lisa from Peabody. Go ahead.
Hi, Tiziana. I have two comments and two questions, and I'll be quick.
Lisa. I'm sorry. We don't have time for that. Lisa, just one question, please.
All right. You mentioned that somebody that can be vaccinated could also carry the virus and be asymptomatic. And like my daughter also had COVID, do I have to vaccine her? And what's the percentage of people that have been vaccinated could be carrying the virus?
Thank you for that. Dr. Barocas.
So it's very, very, very unlikely that someone can get COVID once they've been vaccinated. We know that this happens. There are breakthrough cases. We expect this to happen, but we know that it's going to be less severe COVID. People are going to stay out of the hospital. People are going to avoid death. So even if you, your daughter, have been vaccinated, you still have a chance of getting it. If you haven't been vaccinated and you've had COVID, then this is the moment for you to get vaccinated because it does reduce your risk of severe infection. And we say this over and over, it's not the magic bullet, but it is one of the tools in the toolbox that we have.
Well, what a pleasure. You know, Dr. Gabriela Andujar-Vasquez, you are one of our newest members, and now we're saying goodbye to one of the oldest members of our family in terms of duration on Ask the Doctors, Dr. Barocas. We wish you best, Dr. Barocas. So that was Dr. Benjamin Linus of Boston Medical Center, Dr. Gabriela Andujar-Vasquez of Tufts Medical Center, and Dr. Joshua Barocas, soon to be in Colorado. Thanks to all three of you for doing Ask the Doctors.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Thanks. Drive safe, Josh.